Mighty Father, we will sing hallelujah,
hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
To your holy and righteous name. Thanking you for all that you've done in the midst of our lives and because of who you are. We ask now that you will speak to us as only you can through this thy vessel, by the power of thy spirit, through these wonderful words you've given us. We pray this in Christ's name. To continue our mini series on the I Am God, Jesus the Christ. And we started off by talking about how he said that I am the bread of life. And what do we get out of that? We realize that sometimes we can have some sinful motivations because some folks are looking at us for the wrong reason. And we also found out that even in that process, though, he gave them a salvation message that they really needed him. They needed the bread who he was. In other words, he was their what? He was their sustenance. And last fall, we found out that it was a successful mission because no matter what happened, that Christ was not going to leave what any of the Father had given him. Hey, sister girl. How you doing? Wonderful. Good to see you. And we started that series off talking about significance.
Yeah.
And how sometimes we allow things to become what? Significant in our lives as opposed to Christ. Christ wanted to understand that he is the bread of life. He is all that they need. He is what they need for salvation and for satisfaction. And then last week we talked about how Jesus told them in chapter 8 of John that he was what? The light of the world. The light of the world. And what we found out is that he came as the light, but people did not receive him. Why? Because men love the darkness rather than the light. And so they came up in chapter 8, what the adulterous woman, remember, and they talked about how they tried to put him in a dilemma because he had to make a decision. And after he did that, he made a declaration that I am the light of the world. He says, because he is that light, he actually says that those who what? I am the light of the world, so whoever follows me will not walk in what?
Darkness,
but will have the light. Of life. And with that light of life, you need to understand three things, is that you need that light. Why? Because it is essential to life, right? Life is essential to life. And since that was a physical thing, but really meant from a spiritual standpoint, and the fact that you actually need that life for what? For spiritual salvation. Amen. That's the light that you were talking about. He said, so it's essential. And so since it was essential, he said, you're going to go around. He said, if you follow him, you will not walk in darkness, but you will be the light of life. So since you're walking around, You do what? You need to expose the darkness, amen, in the world. You want to be the light of the world, right? You want to expose the darkness. You want to let your light so shine that you might see your good works, but glorify your Father who is in heaven. And if that is true, there ought to be somewhat, some evidence. There ought to be some evidence in your life that you are actually walking and this newness of life, and you're not no longer walking in the darkness. Because remember, we all once walked in the darkness,
yes,
but not anymore. Amen.
Amen.
And so that leads us up to chapter 10, where we're going to be talking about now that Jesus says that he's the door. You get that? The door. He's bread, he's light. Now the door. It was like that wasn't. I was looking for something different, you know. But what I found out about reading this, and I hope you all are following along. Like you read the whole book of John, but at least read 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Amen. As we go through, because I'm going through all the way as we're going through these I ams, and you got to find this. It's all in John, so just keep reading John. But the more I'm reading, and I'm being honest, I read John 7. One of the first books I read was John. One of the first books I took at Capital Bible Seminary was the book of John. It was taught by John. Not the Apostle John. Professor name had to be John. That was pretty cool. John by John. And I remember reading that, and then I read it again. I was reading it again this week with like fresh eyes, and I was seeing some things. And what I first found out is that Jesus wanted to make sure that you understood what he was saying. Amen. He tried to speak in very simple language. And one of the things here is that he didn't want them to mistake this. And so he used an object that everybody would know what it is. Right?
Amen.
You can go over to France right now. And they might have a different name for the door. I think it's like Porta, right?
Porta.
Okay, there you go. So you can go over there and you say, Porta, but they will actually, no matter who you talk to, they will know what you're talking about. It's Porta, door, right? In English, you say door. People know exactly what you're talking about. And a door is used for specific things, correct? Is to what? To allow entry and to allow. There you go. So you kind of already got discerned, right? This is what he's talking about, right? He said, I am the door. So you kind of got an idea. Since he's using that, he's not going to talk about something that he can't do, right? So it kind of makes it a little simple. And so he talks about how I am the door. So in that process, when you begin to read that, you should understand that there's got to be something about going in or coming out, right? And so you got to have the context of what's going on. That's why I want you to read, because I can't just go into chapter 10 and read verses 1 through 10 and you get an understanding about that, right? That you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. Because I've been seeing a door, and the first thing going in your mind is like garage door, church door, there's all kinds of doors out there. And if you're like me, your mind probably went back to one of my favorite shows when I was growing up. And I was watching black and white TV. And the host name was Monty Hall. See, look, y'all got it already, right? And what was famous about that show? The door. It was called what? Let's Make a Deal, right? And people would dress up and all types of costumes like y'all do from Sunday morning y'all come here. Right? Just so you get noticed and get picked. So you make kind of things, and then Monty would come up there and they'd pick you and he'd ask you certain things and you guess if you went to the right or you had the right stuff, like a paper clip, he'd give you money. They said you can trade for behind door number
one.
Yeah, two, three. So doors, and it was very exciting. And then what happened was the people get all this stuff, right? And then they wanted to get to the point where they get to the what? The big deal.
Yeah.
Y'all remember the big deal? Yeah, the rest of the show was nothing. You got to, if you didn't get the big deal, you were nothing. You just got some stuff. But see, you got to the big deal. You got the real doors, 1, 2, and 3, right? And all of a sudden, but what you would do is you would give up what? All that you had, right?
Yeah.
For a chance at one of those doors.
Yeah.
And you can actually pick the wrong door. And what happens in life is sometimes you give all you have, and if you pick the wrong door, you're going to get a song. And it's called hell. Amen. So now when y'all look at the lesson, you're going to get a different option. Because that door leads to something. They gave up all that they had to pick a door that would bring them satisfaction, that would bring them success, that would bring them something that they had yearned for. Isn't that why they gave all they had? And sometimes we give up all that we have to try to get satisfaction, to try to get success in areas where God doesn't want us to be. And be very mindful of that. This door that he's talking about leads to something that we all need. Wow. So the word of the Lord says this in chapter 10, verse 10. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold, I'm going to get back to that part, of the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, that's my song, and leads them out, because he knows my name. I lost my point. Okay. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And we'll go in and out and find pasture, green pasture, read Psalm 23. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Let's stop there. I want to talk about the good shepherd. This whole thing is about shepherd. Even in verses 1 through 10, he's talking about the shepherd. He never named shepherd. In verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. I'll get to that next week. Right. So this title, I could have done both of them in one day, but I want to just really spend some time here so you get the context of this. So now I'm going to go back to chapter 8 and walk you through to chapter 10, and then I'll talk about the door, okay? Yeah. Now, we were in chapter 8 earlier last week when he talked about he was the light, remember?
Okay.
And that came about because of the dilemma they tried to put him in, because he had to make a decision, but then he made a declaration. So they will understand he's the light of the world. So I didn't finish reading the whole thing, but I told you to go home. So you should already know what chapter 8 says, and 9 and 10. And what chapter 8 has been saying is a very powerful saying. That's why I want you to read chapter 8, because he talks about the fact that you need to understand the truth of what's going on. Amen. Because he also says in chapter 8, around about verse 31, he said, it was the truth that will set you free, right?
Yeah.
He told his disciples, he says, that you ought to know the truth, because the truth is actually what sets you free. Because see, what they kept hinging or hanging their hat on about salvation was this guy by the name of Abraham. Y'all know Abraham, right? He had a woman named Sarah, and he had Isaac, remember? And Isaac had who? Jacob. Oh, come on, Jacob. Do you have to go back to Genesis and walk out through this? And Jacob had what? 12 or so sons, right? That we know of. He was a player now. I'm not looking at that. But only got 12 in the Bible. And then that led to all of them going about, and then you had all these folk coming about. And so they were hanging their hat all the way back when a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham was what, the father of faith, and he was the one who what spoke of God. He was a friend of God, and so what they were saying was they were children of Abraham, and they believed that that was the truth that was going to get them in, and they were going to keep the law, they were going to keep the commandments. And what Jesus wanted them to understand is that they weren't even the sons of Abraham. Amen. He said, because if you were actually the sons of Abraham, you would be trying to kill me, right? He said, you'd be trying to love me. He said, but you know what? I'll tell you what. You do have a father, and his name is Satan. Amen. That's all that you have. Y'all read it. Y'all read chapter 8, right? He said, your father is Satan. Your father's not Abraham. He said, then he says, he talked about how the fact that Abraham loved to see his day of appearance. Remember that? And they said, well, wait a minute. You're not even 50 years old. How are you going to tell me that you knew Abraham? And then he hit him. He said, but before Abraham was, I am. You know that? They didn't like that. They picked up some stone and wanted to kill the brother. I told you, they love picking up rocks in them days. They didn't have guns. So they used rocks as guns. And they were trying to stone him because he said, before Abraham was, I am. You see, they understood something we don't understand, is that when he said, I am, he's making himself equal to God. Amen. So they got that. They knew that. Because see, even though they were lost, they were still religious. Help me somebody. Yeah. Hope that don't get lost on the way out of here. Amen. Sometimes you can be very religious, but you can still be lost. And so now all this going on the same day. So once they pick up the stones, Jesus, he played snaggletooth. Some of y'all don't know, if y'all order, tell you keep the snaggletooth for you, right? He said, exit, stay there. And he cut up out of there, right? But as he was leaving the temple, he ran into a blind man. A man who was blind since birth. And the disciples they were, they said, hey, Jesus, let me ask you a question. Was this man blind because of his sin or because his parents sinned? And Jesus helped them out there. Chapter 9, he says, it wasn't because of either one of those. He says, so that God might be glorified by what I'm about to do right now. So he did something to some mud, right? Mix it all up, put it on the God's eye. I ain't gonna tell you it's something nasty. John, y'all read it, right? Yeah. And they put it on his eye, and they told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and that he would regain his sight. Now, the brother was obedient, right? And so he went, did it, washed his face off, bam, he could see. And what happened was, is the folks saw him all around him, all people following him. And they grabbed this brother and took him to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and said, look, this guy who once was blind now can see. So they began to question him about who did this because it was Saturday. Huh? Yeah. And what don't you do on Saturday when you're around religious folk like that? You don't do no work. So we don't care how you can see. We want to know why they did it on Saturday. Why can't they wait until, you know, another day? Religious but lost. Instead of them glorifying God for what he had done, they wanted to try to get the one who did it and kill him. Because they knew it was Jesus. They didn't have to ask about it. They knew. Because why? He had been doing stuff like this all. That's why they didn't like him. He'd been stealing folk from them by doing all these miracles. And the reason why he did those miracles so people would know he was what? He's God. So I'm going to show y'all that I'm going to do the thing that only God can do. And even the folk who were around him that were following the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they even told the Sadducees and Pharisees, said, look, hey, y'all keep saying this guy is bad, but if he's bad, how can he keep doing these things that only God can do? He must be in with God. And they said, we don't care about all that. He did it on Saturday. We want to know where he is. So they asked the blind man, said, what happened? He says, well, guy came, made some mud, put on my eyes, and then washed. They said, no, I got my sight. And so they said, well, who is he? He said, I don't know. I don't know who he is. And he didn't know at the time, because he didn't come back and talk to him. Like, I don't know who he is. And so they said, well, let's find his parents. He went and grabbed his parents. So we want to ask you a question. Is this your son? They said, yeah, that is my son. They said, well, how did he get his son? You know why? They were afraid. Because the Pharisees and Sadducees already said, they find anybody who says that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, they'll be put out of the synagogue. Amen? So put them out. And they didn't want to come out of the synagogue. They said, look, he's a baby. Why don't you ask him? Leave us alone. He grown. And so they went and got him again. They asked him again. He says, why do y'all keep bringing me back in here? I already told y'all who did this. Do y'all want to be his disciples too? Well, they didn't like that. They said, you're trying to get smart. Because we don't need him because we got Abraham. We got the Abraham. And so basically he said, but since you actually believe him, they put this brother out. In other words, they said, you can't no longer worship with us. Jesus came around and found him, started talking to him, said, do you believe in the Son of God? He said, well, who is he? He says, he was the one who opened your eyes up. He's speaking to you right now. Pretty plain talk, right? He said, man, I believe in you. The brother started worshiping the Lord. And guess what he said? And here's the irony about this. The ones who could see the lost and the ones who was blind could actually see.
Yeah.
That was the whole point about this. Yeah, the one who was actually blind, now he actually can see. He understands what he's talking about. But the one who actually already had the sight and should be able to see, they don't get it. You know what? They didn't want to get it. And that's the point that I'm actually really beginning to believe about the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they just didn't want to get it. I believe with all my heart, that I can back the scripture, is that Jesus said, I would have not one to perish. He wanted them to get it.
Amen.
That's why he spent so much time with them. He says, hey, you guys got to get this thing. He says, I want you to understand one thing. He says, now we get chapter 10. He says, I am the door. You got it? You see how it all comes together now? He says, I am, you guys are missing out on this opportunity. I'm the big deal. Amen? I'm the one that you've been talking about all this time. I've come before you. I've told you I'm the bread of life. I told you I'm the light of the world. He said, now I understand that I am the door. You can only get to the Father through me.
All right.
You got to come this way. That's what he wanted them to understand. And that's why he gave them this story in chapter 10 to kind of hopefully open up their blind eyes and look at the eyes. Now follow me? So now we get chapter 10. So he says, truly, truly, he's still talking to them. This is all happening the same day. He says, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. He's telling them right in their face. He said, if you're trying to get to heaven in another way, guess what? You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're a thief and a robber. And see, that goes all against what they thought they were, remember? They didn't ever see themselves as being bad people. And what he wanted them to understand was is that the sheepfold in this part right here, chapter 10, it can mean a lot of things, but right here, this text, he's actually talking about Israel. Okay? He's talking about the Judaism. You want them to understand that they were giving a responsibility of taking care of the sheep of Israel. And they were trying to do it in a wrong way. In other words, they were supposed to be teaching them something they weren't teaching. They were supposed to be teaching them about the Messiah, and they kept teaching them about the law. He said, you can get there, just be good for them. And we all know that's not true. So he gives him this scenario here. And the thing you know about the sheepfold in those days is the sheepfold was nothing more than sometimes a lot of rock that the shepherds would get together and pile up. Sometimes they were out in the field and they couldn't get back to the town. So they make their own sheepfold. And so what they would do, they pile up a lot of rocks and they would literally make walls. In that area, there was a lot of rocks. And that's why I remember every time anybody thrown by it, you had to go to it. There was just rocks everywhere. And so they picked up all these rocks and they would build walls, high walls that the sheep couldn't get out of. And then the wolves and stuff couldn't get in. Got it? And they built this long, this thing they called a sheepfold. That's what it was. It was like almost like a barn with no roof. Got it? And they would build it up. And on the top of it, they would put thorns. So if the animal crawled up, they would stick, you know, they'd go back the other way. So nobody could get into the what? Where the sheep were. But they would leave one entrance there, right? And it was called a door. Got it? Even though it says door here, it actually means doorway, right? Because you can't go through a door. Y'all know that, right? He was the one who went through the door. He went through the door. Remember? He's going to go through a door later on, amen? But what he's saying here, even when he says, I am the door, he said, I am the doorway. And as a matter of fact, in the Greek, it's in the emphatic, which means I am the only doorway. Got it? And so they built this. He wanted to get them to people understand. And so he built this scenario for them, like a sheepfold. They would understand this is a path, this is a place where the sheep would be inside, but you only have to go in one way. Follow me? So he's giving them the example of that. He says, if you try to come in another way, you would be in a robber. They would understand that. Why? Because they made sheepfold before, and folks who tried to climb over the walls were thieves and robbers. Got it? So you understand the pictures. So now he said, let me tell you verse 2. He says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. In other words, they have the authority. Got it? Because there were what? There were keepers there. What they would do is, because sometimes a lot of shepherds in the same place, you know, and they work together. They had a lot of sheep. They got, and they would build this big sheepfold, and they would put them all in this one place, and then they would hire one person to what? To stand at the door to make sure that what? Nothing got in and nothing got out. And they would go somewhere and get some sleep. And no, they've been up all day watching sheep. So they need their rest. So it's only one person there guarding the door so people can't get in and can't get out. Animals can't get in, animals can't get out. Got it? And so what he's saying was that, but if you come through the front door, guess what? The gatekeeper's going to what? It's going to let you in because you have the authority to be in there. But you are the rightful owner. Got it? He says, so I want you to understand that. So he said that to him, the gatekeeper, the person they hired, opens the door, right? Here's the key part. Remember, I said, there's a lot of shepherds, right? There's a lot of sheep. And they would literally all put them into the same sheepfold. And this blows your mind. I know it blew my mind. I thought about this thing. It says that when the person went in who owned the sheep, look what it says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Look, I'm telling you, I read John before, and when I read that, I said, wait a minute. Now, I did read, sheep are dumb animals. Y'all know that, right? They are. They can't defend themselves. That's why they need shepherds. But these sheep actually understood who they were supposed to follow. Got it? Out of all those sheep in there, this one person, they would let the one shepherd come in. He would come in and he would actually call out his sheep by name.
Yeah.
And they would respond. And follow him. But that wasn't the part that really got me. The part that got me was the other ones wouldn't. That blew up. Because I just thought, you know, now I'm a sheep, right? I'm stuck in this pen. I know what's outside this pen. Brother come in, calling our name, and they're going out. I'm going out too. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't go. Because there was a trust factor that had been built over time by building a relationship. Yeah, and so I had to take it out of the sheep mode because we don't know, we're not sheep, you know, and I had to put it in the dog mode. Amen? And I put that, I said, okay, so if you go to a kennel and you know the dog, because the dog has a relationship with you, and you call out that dog's name, that dog will respond to its handler and go with its handler while the other dog is just sitting there looking. And they're waiting for what? They're waiting for their handler to come And then they will respond in like manner because of what? The relationship that is built and the trust that they actually have
with
the one who's called. And so I got to that point and I'm saying, I understand that. And so he leads them out. Verse 4 says, and when he has brought out all his own, again, showing me that there is a separation here, right? He's only going to call out those who belong to him. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. Brother Eric, I looked at that, and it gave me a sense of confidence. I know what Jesus meant then, back when he says that my Father has given them to me, and I will lose not one. It comes together now. That's why it's a successful mission, because they're not going to go. And what I thought about was today. You know how you have folk up in the church and they're listening to the word of God? You might have come in together, y'all praising God, and then you got saved together, you're having a great time. And then all of a sudden, maybe 2 or 3 years down the line, they leave the church and they talk to you and they say, hey, look, I just want you to know, all that stuff that you thought I believed, I don't believe it anymore. I'm actually joining this cult and I'm going over here and I'm going to serve this person and I'm not going because I don't believe in Jesus Christ. They were never there. They were never there. They were just hanging around sheep. That's all they were doing. But they were never where we thought they were. We can't lose folks to cults. It's impossible. The text right here, it's impossible. They're not going to follow. It's not going to happen. The word of God says if they leave here and go to a cult, they were never part of the sheepfold. They weren't here. I know we love them, but they were not here. Matthew says the best. He says, if it was possible, they might fool me back. Isn't it? Yeah, it's easy to remember. You want that text? It's Matthew, I got it, 24:24. That's engraved in the back of my head. Because the word I like by saying, if it was possible. And so it means it's impossible to fool the elect. And that's why they don't follow strangers. That's why we don't go off the cults. Because we understand who Jesus is.
Oh, yeah.
He has drawn us in. We are a new creation. We are created in him now. And we love him and we follow him. And he knows us.
Yeah.
And we know his voice. We know when he is speaking. We know when he's not speaking. As a matter of fact, I'm so confident that now that I guess what? When you go out here and you listen to other folks preach, you ought to know when it's not right.
Amen.
You ought to know when it's not right. Yeah. You're not because I'm a great pastor, because we serve a great God. And his word is inside of you. His spirit leads you. And they're all true. And when folks start talking nonsense, it's time for you to get into that good old church tradition. Get up out of here, man. Get up out of there. Gotta go. Because you don't listen to nonsense. You listen to who God is and God speaks to you.
Yes,
Lord.
Amen.
Oh, how he walks with me.
Yeah.
Oh, how he talks with me.
All right.
Oh, how he tells me. I'm going to hook that song up in this sermon. Come on now. He knows my name. But he says, we actually flee from him, the stranger. But we don't know the stranger's voice. Verse 6 got me. He said, but those folks didn't understand. Those ones who didn't understand weren't there. They didn't get it because he's speaking in plain English. He's giving them a scenario they will all understand. He's talking in today's language, which was today for them. Amen? And they understood that, but they didn't get it. You know why? I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. They didn't want to get it. Remember what it said earlier? He said, he's not light of the world. He says, but people didn't want the light. They love the darkness. They love the evil thing. They want to stay where they were. They didn't want to come to Christ. You know how I know that's true? Because I once was there.
Yes. Well.
I didn't come to Christ when I first heard the gospel. I heard the gospel when I was 18 years old. Now, before that, I used to go to church. But I don't know what I was listening to because the preacher used to start mumbling at the end. I kind of turned them all up to I'm just being real. To me, that's what it sounded like. When they start, you know, I would fall asleep. That's my mom. They tell me to be gone. But when I got to be 18, I was in the military. I used to go to chapel. And I heard the gospel clear. But you know what? Didn't register. You know why? Because I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to have to give my life to somebody I didn't really know and start going to service on Sunday morning. And knowing if I can hang out on Sunday and do all the things I want to do and I'm just enjoying my life. Well, I didn't want to do it. And so I didn't want to hear the truth. And that's what was happening here in verse 6 is those who didn't want to didn't get it because they didn't want to get it. And so here's the part I wanted to get to. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And y'all might not believe me, but that was an introduction. That means the word of God. I wouldn't do that to y'all. But I could. But what I want you to understand about this, since you have now you have the context of what's going on, and you have the difference of the people that were there, here's what he wanted them to get out of this. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep.
Yeah, sure.
What he wanted them to understand is the second part, he said, all who came before me were thieves and robbers. Why? They were trying to get them out of the way. But the sheep did not listen to them. That's why they were still there listening to him. And he says, he will be saved. If anyone enters by me, this is where I want to get to, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And the thief come on to steal and kill. I came that he might have life and have it more abundantly. Three things. I'm just part of the text right here. Three things. This. What he's talking about here is this doorway. When he says, I am the door, remember, that means yeah. I am the doorway. Again, and in fact, he says, I am the only doorway. Got it? So it's leading to a place that what? Only you can get through him. Got it? A place where only you can get to through him. You have to do it what? His way. I am the door of the sheep that actually knows God's voice will only follow him. Don't worry about the other folk, the only robbers and thieves. You don't have to listen to them. Just listen to what I'm saying. I am the door. He said it again the first time. And if you enter by me, right? So what he wants to talk about is this doorway, he's saying, is that basically it is spiritual security. Got it? Remember, the thing about what he's talking about the door is, a door is there for you to enter and to exit. But what is it also there for? Security. Right? Not only can you enter and exit, but it also keeps folk out and keeps folk in. Amen? And once you go in, guess what? You cannot get out. No, you can't. That's what he means. We'll get to talk later on. Remember Jesus says, that no one that he gave me thou shall lose. And he says, and no one can what? Pluck them out of my hand. Did you ever sit there and do a word study on no one? Guess what? That includes you. You are part of the no one. In other words, you didn't save yourself. You can't unsave yourself. Amen. And then he makes it even stronger. He says that no one can put them out of my hand. And guess what he says? Basically, we're in the Father's hand, and my Father is stronger than I am, and nobody can put them out of the Father's hand. You got double coverage. Amen? You got double. You can't even get out, but he said, yeah, I think you can. The Father has both of us. And he's stronger than me. And nobody can pluck them out of the Father's hand either. It's what? It's called spiritual security. You go through that door, you can't get out.
Hey.
And nobody can get in. And that's why you don't follow false teachers. Because you're secure in Christ. As a matter of fact, he said you're so secure by the Spirit of God that you'll actually be redeemed one day. Right? He's got to redeem you. What? Because you've been sealed. Amen. Y'all know what sealed means? Sealed means you can't go over it. In those days, they didn't have envelopes, right? But they were sinful. They put messages inside of them. And then the king would get some wax. And he put that big glob of wax up there. And he would have the king's seal on there. And he would stamp it. It would be really hot. And it would burn the wax into the paper so that nobody could open it unless they cracked the seal. And nobody can do it but Jesus.
Amen.
We have been sealed until the day of redemption.
Hallelujah.
See, all this, see this doorway that we have gone through, not that we're going through, but we've already gone through. Amen. I just want you to get happy about the fact that you're already on the other side of it. Amen. Now, my prayer is that we're all on the other side, but just in case you're not, it's not too late. Amen. See, you might just be like some folks just like to hang around sheep because we're all sheep, amen. And folks like to hang around sheep, but you're not really part of his fold unless he's calling your name and you begin to follow him through the doorway, and you can only get there by Jesus.
Yes.
Why is that important? Because there's a lot of folk out there talking about you can get there some other way than Jesus. Amen. And some of them have some nice fancy names that might confuse you. Like they're actually going around saying that their witness is what Jehovah. Oh, I ain't shaming. They will say that. See, because you'll see the word, oh, Jehovah. And pastor of me, Jehovah means God. So if they're actually witnesses for God, no. Because they don't believe in the Son of God. Amen. Let's pull the sheep back so you'll actually know what they're talking about. Because if you leave out the Son of God, you left out God. Because he just said that you can only get there through him. He is the door. He is the doorway. He is the only doorway. How are you going to get there if you don't go through the doorway? That is Jesus. But once you accept him, you have spiritual security. You are in. Amen? And you cannot be taken. That's what he wanted to understand. He says, I am the door of the sheep, his sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Spiritual security. Second part of it is salvation. Same thing. This is a salvation lesson. He said that once you can come in, you're saved. You're saved. What does that mean? That means that all of your sins have been forgiven. All of them. Now, what does all mean? The ones you committed yesterday, the ones that you're going to commit today, and the ones you're going to do tomorrow. All means all. Yeah, he's covered. All. Now, that doesn't give us the right to what? To sin. Amen? Doesn't give us a license to sin. It gives you a license to be mindful of the one who saved you from your sins.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And that now you should be thankful. You should be grateful. You should be willing to serve. And why? Because you came to the door and he saved you. Can I tell you anything about this? But see, about going through, you didn't go through willingly.
Hey.
See, that's the part that y'all know. Some people say, well, you know what? Yeah, I remember when I came to these. No, you didn't really come. He drugged you through the door. That's what the scripture actually states, that he actually had to drag. You did not want to. You were holding on to the hinges, trying not to go in. He had to pull your fingers by one by one, and he pulled you on in. Why? Because he loved you too much to leave you outside.
My Lord.
That's the God we serve.
Yeah.
He The little text says that he drags you in. Remember what that word is, draw? It literally means he dragged us in. Out of the darkness into his marvelous light. He did all of that. Why? That you might be saved. Not from Satan. Let's make that perfectly clear. You're not saved from Satan. You're saved from the wrath of God. Amen. Amen. Y'all understand it? Because some folks give Satan too much credit. No, you better be glad you are saved and he saved you from himself. That's how good he is. Because he knows that if you don't come in that way, you can't come in any other way. You are picking a robber and you will have to deal with the wrath of God. And nobody wants to have to deal with the wrath of God.
Amen.
And so he gave you the source of salvation, which is Jesus. Got it? So you have spiritual security. You have the source of salvation.
Yes.
And what are the last thing he gives you? In this process of you going through the door, he says, it's verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. He says, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes.
What is that? That's a supernatural satisfaction. A supernatural satisfaction. In your salvation, you should be totally satisfied. I know sometimes we don't act like it.
Yeah.
That's because we lose focus. But no matter what you go through in life, you win. Amen. You have a big deal.
All right.
You've chosen the right door. And you have what? You have a supernatural satisfaction. Why is it supernatural? Because even when you're yet going through, you still have joy. Yeah, that's the part that got me. It's like, I still have joy. Brother says, I still have joy. He says, what? After all the things I went through, I still have joy. There was a time in my life, I'm not going to sing the song. But what he was saying was that I understand now that even though right now I'm at a home going to somebody I dearly love, I know that person is going to a place where I'm going to meet up with them one day. And in the midst of that, I'm rejoicing that God has taken them out of their pain, out of their strife, and they're now in Christ in the active body, the presence of the Lord. And one day I'm going to be there too. Why? Because God has redeemed me. God has made a way out of no way, and we're all going to be there one day together. And because of that, I have a supernatural satisfaction that no matter what I go through in life, I'm going to be all right. I don't care what you owe. I don't care who you are. Right? Come here, I'll be my man. He always wants sad. I'm not sad in my life. I don't have this. I don't have that. I got bills. When I leave this church, my life comes back at me. Full force. It should be there right now. You can't get out of your life situation by coming to church.
Yeah.
You can't. People say, well, you know, I go to church and I feel like I'm okay, but then as soon as I leave, you know, all my problems come back. Your problems were already there. They were. And the same focus that you have now by putting it on Christ, if it stays there, you will be okay. Thou will keep thou in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Your situation don't have to change before you have joy. What you have to understand is put your theology with your thinking and realize that guess what? I'm satisfied in Christ. And no matter what I go through, God will take care of me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know that part that Paul talks about in Philippians where he said that no matter where I find myself, I always find myself to be content. No matter what I'm going through, and you know what? I caused most of it. A lot of stuff we go through, we say, well, the Lord allowed it. Yeah, but I caused it. He allowed it.
Yeah.
But I put myself in a place where I caused it. And guess what? It's still going to be okay. Because I'm inside. Yeah, I'm still messing up, but I'm still on the inside, and God's going to take care of me. And guess what? While I'm there, only so much is going to come through.
Hallelujah.
Everything that comes through my life, God allows. Even if I call it, he allows it. But guess what? He will only allow so much because he loves you that much. Because if you get too out of hand, he'll just take you home. You don't believe that, but he will. God will love you so much that he'll realize that where you're going is a danger zone. He just takes you over.
Amen.
That's grace. Amen.
Amen.
You can see when your theology lines up with your thinking, you realize that certain things happen because of God's love, and he loved you so much, he didn't want you to deal with the situation you're going to go through, so he took you home. And people say, well, he died so young. And this is the part I realized. Oh, he died prematurely. No such thing. No such thing. Every one of us already got a date. Yeah. The day you were born is already set. The day you leave. And no matter what you do, you can't change that date. It's done. And it's all in God's hand. Amen. He is in total control of all things. You have to believe in the God we say we believe in. And when you do that, you will have a supernatural satisfaction. No matter what happens in life, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. So you mean to tell me this pink thing right here because it represents breast cancer. Amen. Y'all know that, right? Breast cancer month in October. I don't believe there's a person in this room that hasn't been touched by breast cancer. Nobody. I know my family has. Amen. My mother-in-law was taken home because of breast cancer. Amen. And even in that, you have to find satisfaction. Because see, when we decide that we want to begin to hold on to things and try to go against what God has done, what we're saying is we're smarter than God. And I'm no longer satisfied in the way he's running things. I'm going to run things for myself. But when you understand who God really is, guess what? You begin to understand that I know who is truly in control, and he only does good. Y'all know Romans 8:28.
Uh-huh.
But see, y'all don't like to use it. Y'all like to use it when nothing's going on. But when stuff is going on in your life, that's when you need Romans 8:28. Right? See, that's when it becomes real. Because see, when you're going through a death in your family, nobody can sit there and tell you, hey, man, all things work. As soon as they get it out, you're about to smack. Let's be real.
Because
you don't want to hear that. Then. That's why I'm telling you now. Because you got to prepare yourself for the things that are going to still come in our life. Why? Because we live in a broken, sinful world. And no matter how saved you are, things are going to happen to you. Amen. And get that stuff out of your mind of why do bad things happen to good people? There are no good people. Amen. There's only a gracious God.
Yes, Lord.
And the things that are happening is because God has allowed to happen. And you gotta understand it. Since you're on the other side of the door and you have spiritual security, since you have what the source of salvation, you would have a supernatural satisfaction of what God is doing in your life. And that's why he makes this statement that he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He didn't say everything's going to go right. He just said you should be able to handle it. Why? Because you are inside. I'm the door. Right? He says that. And when you come through the door, guess what? You are going to be all right because you are saved. And you'll be able to go in and out and find pasture. In other words, you have liberty to do things he wants you to do. Yeah, liberty to enjoy this life, but don't get it twisted. You can't do anything you want to do and think you don't have a consequence for it. Amen. I can't even have life and have more abundantly. But he says the abundance comes out of the fact that you're being obedient to what I'm telling you to do. Amen. The more obedient you are to what I'm telling you to do, the more, guess what, abundant your life is going to be. It's not about money. It's not about houses. It's not about cars. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about a right relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about how much word do I actually know and how much word am I actually going to believe. I'm trusting in the one who created all things. All right, somebody wrote a message that said, I look to the hill, and what's coming my help comes from the who made heaven and earth. When we get to that point where we understand that, everybody in here, everybody's looking at me through Facebook, Zoom, what's the other one? YouTube will have a supernatural satisfaction in life. God does not lie. He put it right there for a reason. I came. And since I came, guess what? You can now be saved. And since I have now opened the door, you come through the door, you are secured in me, right? You have the salvation that you need, and you should have the satisfaction in life knowing that no matter what happens, I will take care of you. That's what the door means. My question is, I can only be assured of one person who's on the other side of the door, and that's me. You got to ask yourself the question, what side of the door are you? I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm not asking you to walk down the aisle. I'm asking you to get it right with Jesus. I'm not asking you to repeat no prayer after me. A lot of folks are going to be going to hell because they repeat a prayer that they've understood. Amen. I like to turn out false teaching. Repeat a prayer after me. All of them say, oh, now you're saved. Are you kidding me? When I thought I was saved, I wasn't saved. Amen. That's right. I don't know when I got saved, but I know I'm saved. Because now my total dependence is not even on me. It's on Christ. It's on Christ. And that's why I'm on the other side of the door. It's because of Christ. Where are you? Are you in? Or are you out? You cannot get there any other way through Christ. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. The simplicity of this great gospel. Father, we've read John over and over and over again. We've talked about the door, we glossed over it, but now that we understand, let us not walk away like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, for the figure of speech from Jesus they did not understand. God, it's crystal clear. Crystal clear. You are the door of your sheep. You call us by name and we follow you. We're not the robbers. We're not the thieves. My Lord, we are the sheep of your pastor. We're entering in, oh God, with thanksgiving in our heart, because once we come in, you have saved us. We can go in and we can go out, oh God, but you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I pray that you'll move on the midst of the people, God. They might understand that they must yield their life to Christ to be saved. Move by the power of the Spirit, oh God. Save right now. Bring them in. It's only you can. That we might rejoice together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Give God some praise. Amen.